Wednesday class will always, inshallah, unless Allah wills otherwise, but for the time being, will be a question and answer session, so that we may address the issues which the brothers and sisters need to be answered, as Islam is based on knowledge, and knowledge is acquired through asking. So this is a very fundamental element of our deen which we are trying to fulfill together. And question number one says, I have been giving da'wah to an acquaintance of mine who is a non-practicing Muslim for quite some time. But in spite of all of the efforts that I have been making, there is no change in his attitude towards the deen of Islam. In fact, I got to the point where I was told, if you say anything about religion again, we won't talk anymore. What should I do in this situation? You should leave this person alone in terms of speaking about the religion. Okay? So direct da'wah must be abandoned in order to prevent the greater harm. The greater harm is that this person will hate Islam more and will never want to hear about it again. And consequently, the chances of this person being guided will become very slim. So, out of the wisdom or the good preaching or the good character is to actually, I'm not going to say respect, but to accept this person's decision and to abandon discussing the religion verbally. However, da'wah remains in action. Da'wah remains in the way you behave. Da'wah remains to be done indirectly in whatever means available for you. But if speaking about the religion again will cause this person never want to speak to you again, that will close the door. And maybe they will have that same attitude with anyone in the future who tries to speak to them about Islam. And that is detrimental for this person. So I suggest, and that's my personal suggestion, you leave alone the discussion of the religion verbally. However, you try to give them da'wah through your actions and indirect ways if ever made available for you. And Allah knows best. Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum assalam. I have reverted a year ago and was wondering about changing my name. Should I? I heard that you should keep that I should keep my last name. How would you go to getting my name changed? Shukran. First and foremost, it is not obligatory in Islam that a revert changes his name or her name. It is not obligatory. It is it could be recommended. It may be obligatory if the person's name is inappropriate, either because the name is evil or it has an evil connotation, or if the name is shared among major famous disbelieving figures. For example, if someone whose name was Pharaoh, and Pharaoh was known as being an enemy to Moses and the messenger, Moses back at his time, and Aaron, and he's an enemy of God, and so no one can be called Pharaoh because the name has this evil reference. If the name, like your name, which I'm reading right now, it doesn't seem to be a name related to any Christian or any religious figure, as far as I know at least, so you're not required to change your first name, but the recommendation is that when you change your first name, it will serve a beneficial purpose when you communicate with Muslims. So when you meet someone and say, my name is Abdurrahman, for example, they will automatically understand that you're a Muslim and treat you as such. However, when you say your name is whatever, some other name, then this requires further investigation, and maybe someone may not give you the salam or may not treat you as a Muslim until they find out eventually that you are. So the benefit of having a Muslim name is that it facilitates your affairs among other Muslims. It facilitates your affairs among other Muslims. That's on the one hand. In terms of the last name, that will never change. No matter what the situation is, your last name will never change, because this is your lineage to your father, and a Muslim, no matter what, will never lose that. Because it may result in marriage to people whom you're not allowed to marry, or vice versa. So you keep your last name, whatever the situation. For your first name, it is optional. You may change it, or you may add a first name besides your already existing name, or you may leave it alone, it's fine. But your last name will always remain the same, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum assalam. God said his book is complete, then why do people believe in hadith which even the Prophet prohibited its writing? Is Quran not enough for you? And don't you think those who follow Quran only are on the right path than you people? Well, thank you very much for this question. However, there are many ayat in the Quran which will become invalid unless you believe in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ, obey Allah and obey His Messenger. Okay, obeying Allah is in the Quran. How would you obey the Messenger? From where would the Messenger be obeyed? There will be absolutely no way to do that. And so the hadith is a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which Allah preserved and protected, just like the Quran. However, it requires further authentication prior to application, and we've discussed this in previous sessions, and I do wish to discuss this on another occasion because it is a very inappropriate misconception to be addressed among our beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, specifically the new Muslims. So inshallah we will just what I said I think is enough, and anyone who needs further detail can email me and I will handle it accordingly, inshallah. My sister is having problems with her husband. He never prays Fajr prayer out of laziness and doesn't even set the alarm, and he doesn't pray other prayers unless she begs him. He verbally abuses her, takes her money, and doesn't let her have it unless she begs for it. What is your advice? My advice is that she seeks some counsel in this matter, and that she refers this to the imam of the local masjid, and she has people of knowledge or students of knowledge or people of practicing Muslims advise this man. If the situation doesn't improve, then she goes in another direction. She may seek divorce because of his missing prayers, which is a very grave act, and she doesn't have to be with such a person. Now, when the beard, or when a beard only grows from the sides, is it allowed to shave it? No, Habibi. The act, or the size and the length and the bushiness of the beard is something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is responsible for, and our responsibility is to leave whatever Allah Azza wa Jal gave us. So it doesn't matter whether it grows only on the sides or only at the chin, or it grows only under wherever, only on the neck. It doesn't matter what it is. Whatever grows is facial hair besides the mustache must be left alone. So we leave it alone. And usually in the early stages, it may grow a little, inconsistently. But then inshallah, with patience and give it some time, it will all even out. And the beard will be the beard. At the end of the day, we're not in a fashion show business, nor do we want to be the most handsome men on earth. We're trying to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by keeping our beards, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum, alaikum salam. There's something that keeps me busy. Alhamdulillah, there's a lot of fatwa given by the shuykh in the Arab world, but I wonder, why don't we have fatwa about the situation in the West? I really like to know. For example, if a woman in the West is allowed to go to where? Allowed to go to, when she wears hijab like the Sharia prescribes, when she only goes to school to study, and when she's finished, she goes directly to home or leaves the school. I, for example, live in Holland. It's very important that a woman studies here, etc. So I would like to know if there's a possible go to school, if there's a possibility that scholars give fatwa on basic of the situation in the West. There's a lot of confusion about the topic. Jazakallah khair. Well, quite honestly, sister in Islam, the scholars have given fatwa. They do not give fatwa for one particular region. They do give fatwa for whoever questions them, and they do inquire about the background and the context of the fatwa. I've heard and read hundreds of fatwa concerning people living in the West, if the monitor allows me, I can give you a link to a website which has fatwa, hundreds of them, concerning the fatwa for people in the West, specifically about the question you asked. So the websites are there, and the fatwa are in English, and they're given by scholars who are reliable. So I'll just type it here, so everyone will know. It's one of the most reliable websites in the world. Enjoy it. Salam, brother, wa alaikum salam. My son has got a pure silk necktie as a gift. Is it alright if he wears it? Jazakallah khair. No, it is not alright. For two reasons. First, it's silk, and that's prohibited, period. Whether it is a shirt, jacket, pants, whatever. Pure silk is prohibited all the way. Secondly, the necktie in and of itself is problematic. According to a number of the scholars, it does have its Christian origin, and it has something to do with the cross. Subsequently, many of the scholars categorize the necktie as something that is related to the Christian dress code, and subsequently, a Muslim should not have this as an attire, because basically it becomes a form of resemblance. And so one should avoid wearing it, period. If one believes it's halal, then if it's silk, it may not be worn because of the silk. And Allah knows best. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Can a woman trim her eyebrows, not plucking, if few strands of eyebrows are standing out? No, she may not. A woman may not trim her eyebrows nor pluck them, unless she's doing this for the area which is right above the nose, right here. If it's right here, meaning not over your eyes, only over your nose, then the scholars say this is not part of the eyebrows and you may take that out. But if it's out over the actual eyes, you may not do anything to it. Brush it, fix it, but don't trim it, don't cut it, don't pluck it, and don't do anything to it. Which may remove it, or you can you can dye it if you want, change the color so it doesn't appear. That's fine, but nothing else. Assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum salam. I would like to know whether our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has shown any kind of gesture using the hand fingers during the final sitting in the prayers. Please guide me. Yes, he alayhi salatu wasalam used to move his finger while making dua in the tashahhud, and he would move it while making dua. And obviously, you would in the final sitting after you do the salah ibrahimiyah, you make dua. And so, yes, he alayhi salatu wasalam used to do that. He used to point at the Kaaba and move his finger whenever he was making dua. and Allah knows best. Back. Sorry. Hello. Sorry, my kids were making a little noise, so I had to get off and tell them to just chill out a little bit. Assalamu alaikum. Islamic school versus public school in the West. Could please give your opinion? Come on now. Needless to say, Islamic school. Islamic school all the way. And find a good Islamic school. Not every Islamic school is a good Islamic school. Look for the best one. Those who adhere the most to the Quran and the Sunnah according to the understanding of our righteous predecessors. These are the schools which you want to enroll your children in. You sure don't want to enroll them in any Islamic school, let alone a public school. Because I know what goes on in those schools. And the kids will turn out to be corrupt. Very corrupt. Because you're trying to raise them a particular way, and the whole school is trying to raise them in another way. Guess who's going to win? Yeah. With the shaitan on their side. And the condition we're in. Next. Okay, I'm a revert to Islam, congratulations. And my mother is a Catholic. I've been educating her about Islam. She believes there's one true God and she agrees with most of the teachings of Islam, but she still dislikes the fact that I wear hijab. We live in a non-Muslim country. She says that the belief must be in the heart of a person and it's arrogance to show the faith on outside. What is the best way of advising her so that she will be comprehend the wisdom behind the command of Allah? Excellent. Well, the first thing you can say to her is that per her verdict, all of the Catholic nuns are also showing off and are arrogant. And do ask her, does she believe that the nuns are guilty of what you are guilty of? Because we all know that nuns wear hijab. We all know that nuns wear hijab. No one can deny that. So make sure, first find out. She may tell you, yes, they're also arrogant. They are also arrogant. If she says that they're also arrogant and that faith is inside and that has nothing to do with action, say then people shouldn't go to church. They shouldn't be a church. Because when people go and they perform worship in the church, they're doing it in front of other people. And that also becomes a form of showing off. And so, if this is the case, then we will not be able to do anything, because everything can potentially be labeled as showing off. And this is incorrect, because God did not say that every action that you do is an indication that you're arrogant or that you're, showing off. There's the belief in the heart, and there are the actions of the limb. And because of your belief in your heart in Allah, He told you to be modest. And modesty is a reflection of your faith. Otherwise, if someone was an honest person, but they never said the truth, we could say to them, that's fine. Because if they said the truth, I can say to them, you're showing off. You're being arrogant. If you're really honest, you should just keep it in your heart. Don't say the truth. But we say, look, I'm honest in my heart, this must be reflected in my actions. My limbs, my mouth is a manifestation of what I have in my heart. I'm a truthful person in my heart. I speak the truth. I'm a believer. I act upon the commandments of God. I hope that would help, inshallah. Can you please give some examples of halal jobs for people who don't have any degrees or are unable to have a business? Yes, you can work in a restaurant, you can work in a bookstore, stationery, you can work in, like I said, restaurants, and there are many of those. You can work in a telephone company for international calling, and you know, you can work in a bakery, you can work in so many different things, so many different things which do not involve haram. Many things. It will take forever to enumerate them because there are so many. The haram are limited. The things which Allah made prohibited are actually limited. It's just that the devils among the humans and the jinn have made them popular today. Otherwise, you can do a million things which are permissible and away from haram things, and you don't have to have a degree, nor do you have to be able to establish your own business to do them. Allah knows best. Okay, if a girl marries, assalamu alaikum alaikum salam, if a girl marries a Hindu against her parents' wishes, he does not wish to convert, is she entitled to inheriting from them? We are not sure if she is still a Muslim, but her kids have two Hindu names. Also, we keep contact with her, no contact at the moment. So let me tell you that this lady has been committing fornication from the day she married this Hindu. Because it is not permissible for a Muslim woman to marry any man of any other religion but Islam. Whether she marries a Christian or a Jew or a Buddhist or a Hindu or an atheist, all these are invalid marriage contracts, and consequently the lady is in an impermissible, unlawful relationship with a strange man whom she cannot be married to. So, she's not really married Islamically, even though she may be married otherwise, but we don't care about that otherwise. Islamically, she's not married, and these children came from fornication, and she needs to leave this man alone instantly. She's not married, and she needs to leave him instantly. And I don't know what she's talking about, you know, inheriting. Yes, if she's still a Muslim, she's entitled to inherit her parents' inheritance, because that part is the one which Allah divided, not the one which they give her. Anyway, such questions require that they are addressed or taken to a scholar or an imam of a masjid who is knowledgeable, so he can sit with these people and get all the details from them and then give them the ruling accordingly. It cannot be really, you know, dealt with in this fashion, but just like I said, generally speaking, or the thing which I can confirm, that she's not married to this man in the sight of Islam and the sight of Allah, this is zina. It is not marriage. No Muslim woman can marry a mushrik. This is according to the clear text in the Quran, which no one can misinterpret or deny. Salam alaikum. Salam bro. Alaikum salam. How could one protect oneself from charms that some bad people put into the food that you are eating or drinking? These charms cause serious problems. How could the innocent protect themselves? They can protect themselves by relying upon Allah, by maintaining the morning and the evening remembrance, by learning the various azkar which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say upon the various situations and conditions he used to be in, recitation of the Quran, piety, righteousness, avoiding sins. All of these, inshallah, are means of protection by Allah's will and leave. A Sufi came to our masjid who believes Allah is everywhere. They had Q&A and I asked him what proof he has for this belief, and he refused to answer, saying it's a sensitive issue. The one who invited him is not Sufi, brushed it aside as if it is not important. What's your advice? My advice is that you do not sit in such gatherings with such people unless you're able to make a change. Because these people may misguide the common people who are not knowledgeable enough concerning the textual evidences. The matter is very sensitive and very important simultaneously, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked the slave woman back then, Ayna Allah, where is Allah? And hadith is Sahih Muslim, the Sahih of Muawiyah radiallahu anhu wa arda. And so no one can say this is an unimportant matter, because knowing where Allah Azza wa Jal is part of our belief system, because Allah told us in the Quran where He is. Where Allah Azza wa Jal says, "Amintum man fis sama." Do you believe that He who is in a state of transcendence, Allah Azza wa Jal, yakhafuna rabbahum min fawqihim. Allah said that they fear their Lord who is above them. Ar-Rahmanu ala al-Arsh istawa. The most merciful rose above the throne. إليه يصعد الكلم الطيب. To Him goes up the goodly word. He said to Jesus, إني رافعك إلي. I will raise you unto myself. He said that He sends things down. إنا نحن نزلنا القرآن تنزيلا. Verily it is us we who have sent down this Quran. So Allah mentioned things going down from Him, things going up to Him, and that He is above His creation, separate from them. How can someone say this is unimportant? This is important. However, the person you may be with, the person you were with perhaps wanted to avoid a greater fitna, so he kind of brushed it aside so he may advise this person, you know, privately. I would not be able to make that judgment because I was not there. The issue is important, but we don't know the intention of this other person who was with you, and his intention does make a difference. But generally speaking, the matter is sensitive and important. And people of knowledge are the ones who are should address these issues, because I've been with people who don't know better, and a Sufi brought a misconception to them, then they're the ones who became misguided, instead of them guiding the Sufi. So we need to be very careful. Ahlan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I'm sending my son to Islamic school. There's only one Islamic school, and only up to middle school where I live. And only few are sending their children to Islamic schools. And they have been telling me that when the son goes from Islamic to public school for high school, he will not be able to adjust there. He will have a shock and he cannot perform well. How would I reply to convince myself and them? Well, you will reply to convince yourself and them that Allah Azza wa Jal did not create us to earn an education. Being very blunt, frank, and straightforward. Yes, education is important, but no, it is not more important than our salvation. It is not more important than paradise and being protected from hell. This is something that we parents must understand, and so do our children. If learning the worldly knowledge is going to conflict with the teachings of Islam and the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we will choose the teachings of Islam and the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What you should do is you should keep sending him to this private school, to this Islamic school, and then work on migrating from the land of disbelief and have him enroll in Medina University in Medina in Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, so that they will love him and accept him over there, and he will become a Muslim scholar, because we need scholars in Islam. We don't need any more engineers, doctors and the likes, quite frankly. Yes, they're important, but we have plenty, mashallah. What we need is scholars, people of knowledge, people to guide the Muslims. Look at the chaos in Egypt, look at the chaos all over the place. People don't know where to go. And the scholars are there, they're not being heard. But when there are abundance of scholars all over the Muslim world, then they will be heard. And people have to abide by their instructions. So, inshallah, continue to, send him to this Islamic school, and know that Allah Azza wa Jal will not make that effort go to waste. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Whosoever has taqwa of Allah, He will provide him from places he does not expect and make a way out for him from every difficult situation. And whoever relies upon Allah, then Allah is sufficient for him. If you're sending him to this Islamic school seeking Allah's pleasure, then Allah will not abandon you. Keep doing it, and inshallah the time will come when Allah will facilitate something better than what you could have even imagined. And inshallah ta'ala, everything will work out fine. Do not send him to this public school. It will be shock for him, and then he will electrically shock himself in the hellfire, and perhaps the parents who send him to the school. So it's not worth it, and Allah knows best. Wa iyyakum. May Allah facilitate your affair, sister. Salaamu alaykum wa alaykum as-salam. A man living in the West picks a second wife. Is it okay if he only lets his family know and nobody else? And is it okay if he doesn't disclose the identity to his first wife? Perhaps you can email me this question, inshallah, and I will reply to it in private. Monitor, please send this person my email address. Only that person. Don't publicize it. That question came up again. Monitor, that question about the Quran and the Sunnah came up again, and I don't wish to address it now. It's okay. What to say about a person who writes articles and documents about Islam? The information is all taken out of Islamic sources, reliable, and combined to one fullness. Is this person allowed to do this when referring to Islamic sources without giving any fatwa? I don't understand this question. I think someone has their mic open. Yeah, I think I understand the question. Yeah, a person may compile information from reliable sources and put it together as an article or whatever. That's fine. It's not considered to be ishing or fatwa. He should, however, refer to people of knowledge so they may revise it and make sure that it is sound and correct. Provided that he doesn't add anything also. He's just compiling information from definitely 100% reliable sources is fine as long as there are no additions. Can a girl be a scholar in Islam? Of course. Wasn't Aisha radiallahu anha, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a scholar? Indeed she was. And whenever the Sahaba, the companions, would differ on a matter, they would refer back to Aisha, and every time they referred back to her, they found that she had some knowledge of a matter which they didn't have. So she used to give him fatawa also. Aisha was giving fatawa to the Sahaba, the male companions of the Prophet ﷺ. Of course she can be a scholar. However, her role is unlike that of a man. Just as Allah said, وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى. Male is unlike female. Male and females are not the same, and Islam never claimed that they are equal. And so a woman does not act like a male. She doesn't play that role. She's a scholar behind the scenes. She's not coming on TV and giving lectures, and she's not, you know, doing that thing, and she's not leading the people in salah. None of that stuff. A scholar meaning a lady who authors, and she helps the other Muslim sisters, and she may author books, and she may give fatawa. Surely she can be a scholar and a half. There's no Muslim community in the small town I live, nor anywhere near. I don't get a chance to meet Muslims and ask them questions about the deen in real life. The only source I get the information about Islam from is internet. I was getting my knowledge from the unreliable sources until I came across onewaytoparadise.net. May Allah reward you abundantly for all the beneficial knowledge you share with the world. Are there any similar sites? Could you advise some beneficial place I could get the sound knowledge of Islam from? Yes, I could. Do email me at onewaytoparadise@gmail.com and I will reply to you with some links for reliable sources, inshallah. And I'm sure the monitors here have some as well. Alhamdulillah. I'm a nursing student and hijab definitely isn't part of our required uniform. No one else in my class is Muslim and my instructors aren't. They are devout Christians. What is your suggestion? My suggestion is that you have to wear that hijab. And I'm assuming that you're not mixing with them. And that's far-fetched though. I'm sure you must mix with them, and that's very dangerous. I mean, guys, look, we have to be very frank with each other. Sometimes the people ask the questions, and then the listeners start, you know, they tend to think, like, what is this? Everything is not allowed. What is this? Complicated, man. It's like a prison. And as soon as you start feeling like Islam is like a prison, I will say to you, bullseye. You hit the bullseye. Because our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that this worldly life is the prison for the believer. Yes, yes, there are things which people love to do, which Islam does not allow you to do, because Islam doesn't want you to have a blast in this world. Islam wants you to go to paradise to have an eternal blast. And to have an eternal blast in paradise, you must abandon and leave alone the blast of the dunya. So mixing with men is not allowed. And as a nurse, you may have to treat male patients who may be naked at times. And that is not allowed. So, you don't have to do this. You need to protect yourself and your religious commitment first. Whether you become the most successful nurse on earth and you get the highest salary, if you don't wear the hijab and your job requires mixing with strange men and touching them and what have you, in your grave, all of these prestigious titles and salaries will be of no benefit for you whatsoever. So every sister must realize, if your job is going to make you abandon the rights of Allah, leave your job. If the knowledge or the education you're acquiring is going to conflict with the rights of Allah, abandon it. It's as straightforward as that. So I hope that is clear. That was my suggestion. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum, brother. Wa alaikum salam. I would like to ask about marriage of men to non-believers, Christian and Jews. I think if the woman is a modest, strict believer of Christianity or Jew, as the woman is the one spending much time in bringing up the children and hence being of more advantage in turning the children on her side, isn't that a risk to allow marriage to such women? Are the Ahl Kitab still exist in present time? May Allah guide us, inshallah. Yes. The fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed something, it does not mean that it is recommended. We have to understand this principle. Everyone listen carefully. The fact that Allah allowed something, it doesn't mean that it is recommended. Allah allowed us to drink coffee, but coffee may not be recommended. Allah allowed us to eat lizards, but eating a lizard may not be recommended. The fact that Allah allowed something does not mean that Allah is recommending us to do it. It's just that He made it permissible. Now Allah allowed Muslim men to marry Christian or Jewish women provided that they are chaste. However, that is not a recommendation. The reason why it is allowed, because there are circumstances when marrying a Christian or Jewish woman will bring her to Islam. Because she's inclined towards Islam, so Islam opened the door for that. But if there's a staunch Christian woman who will raise her children, you know, according to Christianity, who will not wear the hijab, who will get drunk maybe once a week and go to church on Sundays and want to go out of the house and live life the way she likes, then what kind of marriage is a man going to have? And what kind of children is he going to be able to upbring? So we say, akhi, it is not recommended. We have thousands of Muslim women who need Muslim men leave alone marrying this Christian or Jewish woman and marry a Muslim woman. But if some man is in a situation where marrying this Christian woman or Jewish woman will bring her to Islam, and he's able to affect her, then Islam allowed him. It doesn't mean that it encouraged him to do so. Are Ahlul Kitab exist in present time? Yes. The Jews and the Christians of today are the Jews and the Christians of old. They are on the same deviance. Allah told us back in the Quran, Allah said, لا تقولوا ثلاثة انتهوا. Don't say Trinity, stop. Until today the Christians say Trinity. It's the same thing. Now, Assalamu alaikum, alaikum assalam. What is the ruling in Islam if a woman gets pregnant but unmarried, then this guy will get marriage to her during her pregnancy period? Is this valid? This is a disaster. This is a disaster. And the first, they cannot marry unless they both repent. There are some conditions which the scholars have stipulated for this situation. The website which I gave earlier does address this issue. So please go to that website I posted earlier and put in the search box the keywords, pregnant, outside, or pregnant, marriage, repentance, and inshallah you will find tens of fatawa concerning this particular question. Allah musta'an. Come on, you guys are running out of time. Monitors, are the questions finished? Okay, some brothers, when they become religious, suddenly just got cut from their friends and become too serious. Isn't that a put off for those who are not that religious? Surely, it may be a put off for them, but hey, I mean, the person wants to adhere to the deen. And if they're hanging out with these guys, is going to affect that, then, you know, the choice is known. You gotta choose the deen. You gotta choose the commitment, the religious commitment. The person should, have a decent transition and should continue to communicate with these people somehow, even briefly, just so that he may, guide them by Allah's leave and continue to, remind them of Allah's rights over them and not suddenly disconnect. This is a recommendation, but if he does disconnect, then he's not blameworthy, because he may know that he's weak, and if he continues to communicate with them, he may go back to his old ways. And so, we know the hadith of the man who killed the 100, and when he finally asked the scholar told him in a city of evil people, or a town of evil people, leave them and go to such and such city where they are devout people worshipping Allah. This guy, make tawbah in your current town and try to guide the other corrupt people with you. No, he said leave them. And the man left them. So leaving alone your old environment, buddies, friends, circle, is totally fine if you fear that they may, affect you or get you back on your heels. However, if one is strong and able to keep that that link with them, or that string, then one should do so in order to keep the chance of giving a da'wah eventually alive. Wallahu alam. Oh, great. A Christian tried to explain to me the validity of Trinity concept with the following example. Trinity is similar to a person. A person can be a son, a father, and a brother at the same time. It's one person, but he has three natures. He's still one person. Could you please comment on it? Sure. Tell them that person can also be four, five, six. He can be a father, a son, a brother, a cousin, a nephew, a grandfather, a brother-in-law, and a son-in-law, and so many different things. And so what? We're going to make God like people? Is this how we understand God? Is God like that we explain God in this fashion? That's on the one hand. On the second hand, the concept of Trinity in Christianity is something that they themselves don't understand. In fact, the most intelligent among the Christians, you know, flat out said, it's mysterious. You know, Trinity cannot really be explained. Which is being very, you know, frank. They were being very correct and frank by saying that. Because these examples do not fulfill the definition of Trinity in Christianity. Because in Christianity, say, the Trinity is the belief in God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, who they say are co-equal, co-eternal, and co-existent. And even though some of the Christian fractions and denominations may have a different definition, primarily they all agree to that more or less. And so this idea of this coexistence of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost means that none of them could stop being who He is. And we say to them, if you want to compare this to the son, father, and a brother, we say, well, a person may be a son and a father and a brother, but all of a sudden he is no longer a father because his son dies. Or he's no longer a brother because his siblings died. And so even in example of the worldly life, the fact that a person can be son, father, and brother is not eternal. He can be and he cannot. Now God is not something which he can be and he cannot. He is who he is. And people need to, it's just as Allah said, وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ. They did not estimate Allah's greatness in the right fashion. That's why they have the nerve to compare Allah and His greatness to such lousy, excuse my language, lousy examples which are weak and fabricated. Furthermore, they're using them to prove something which Allah rejected, and so did Jesus in the Bible. Jesus in the Bible refused and rejected the concept of Trinity in many different occasions. Those who read the Bible know what I'm speaking about. Those who read the Bible know what I'm speaking about. Jesus said, for example, in John chapter 5 verse 30, if you want to remember, I do not seek my own will, but the will of He said, I of myself can do nothing. I of myself can do nothing. I do not seek my own will, but the will of He who sent me. I of myself can do nothing, but my judgment is righteous, for I do not seek my own will, but the will of He who sent me. So Jesus in that verse said that He cannot do anything on His own. He is not like God, whereas the other person is the same person, but He is not like Him. He doesn't have the same will as God. He is trying to carry out the will of God through His own will. This is rejection of the whole concept of the Trinity altogether. Anyways, this requires lectures, which we've delivered already. You can refer back to the Hear Islam and listen to the series on how to give da'wah to Christians. Inshallah, you'll find most of these have already been addressed. And you can also listen to the examples which we use for da'wah. I've also addressed many of the Christian misconceptions. Na'am, wallahu a'lam. Are there anything other than pork and alcohol that are haram? Also, I was invited to eat with friends at a pork restaurant, but I bought chicken instead. Is this wrong? Yes, there are a few things which are haram in Islam besides alcohol and pork. Al-mayta, any dead animal, which has died, whether it is due to natural causes or whatever. Anyways, as long as it's not a person who it fell off a cliff, or you know, two animals struck each other's head and they died, and the like. These are all forbidden in Islam. Forbidden in Islam. لحم الخنزير والميتة إلى آخره, and other things as well. You know, the animals that have the claws. These are forbidden in Islam. As for eating chicken in a pork restaurant, this is a grave error, because the fact that it's a pork restaurant means that they cook this pork in their pots and pans and use their various kitchenware on these things. And when they cook your chicken, guess what? They're probably going to cook it in oil, or going to bake it in an oven, or going to use some pots or pans or whatever that were used for the pork. So that chicken is going to be pork contaminated. And consequently, you should not go to this place. Actually, either way, and you shouldn't be really going to hanging out with friends who are eating at a pork restaurant. That just sounds way out. Sorry. Inshallah, next time, just, you know, buy a tuna can and eat it at home. What's the ruling on woman who has two husbands and she said it's Islam's fault that a man can have more than one wife? Ha! This sister must be joking, man. Wallah, I never thought I would hear this one. What is the ruling on her? The ruling on her is that she needs to be taught a lesson. Yeah, you better believe. A woman can't be having two husbands, man. This sister must be on some stuff. Tell her, listen, if you had relations with both of them and you got pregnant, the same night you slept with both of them, you got pregnant, who's the father? Who's the father? Tell us who the father is. Huh? You going to what? DNA testing? They make mistakes. And before that, they didn't have DNA. So what did you expect a woman before you to do? You going to say resemblance? Let me see. Oh, he looks like you. Well, guess what? In a few months, he will start looking like the other one. So what do you say? Oh, I'm sorry. I thought he was your son. It turned out that he is my other husband's son. So you send him to the other husband. And then when he's 1 year old, he starts resembling the other husband again. Say, oh, I'm sorry. My bad. You're the wrong guy. Let me give him back to the... Yeah. But if a husband has four wives... and he has relations with all of them in one night and they all become pregnant, guess who the father is? One man. So this is one explanation why a Muslim may marry more than one woman, which Allah allowed, and a woman can never marry more than one man. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, does a woman really want to deal with two men? Do you really want to do dishes for two different men and clean the socks and the underwear of two different men and have to worry about two men nagging over your head? Come on! What kind of sister are you? She must be from Mars or some other planet. I mean, a woman is barely handling one guy. You know what I'm saying? Just leave, brother. And that's her husband whom she loves dearly. Still, it's a big headache. Let alone two on your head. You know? Sheesh, anyways. The sister needs to learn Islam from scratch. Maybe you should bring her to chat Islam. And we can change it to teach Islam. Yeah. Tayyib, anyways, I'll stop cracking my jokes. I know sometimes I get carried away. All this, you misworded the question, Ya Shaykh Allah Yahdiq Yirhamak. After all this, you say you misworded the question, man. I gave a lecture on this right now. So anyways, is it allowed to call oneself? Whoa, that question is way out, Chief. And I don't wish to address this publicly. Barakallah fi. Is it permissible to have right hand possession, slave girls besides the four wives with whom you have sexual relations? Yes, it is permissible. Just find some. You're going to have a hard time getting that. 4 more minutes, guys. It's been an hour. Beautiful, brother. Barakallah feek. I would like to ask about alcohol in the common drinks that we take, like Coca-Cola, tea and coffee. Are they not haram too? Whoa. There's alcohol in tea and coffee? Okay, I don't drink Coca-Cola, so I really can't tell. I'm having a hard time believing that there's alcohol in coffee and tea. Otherwise, maybe I'm drunk because I had tea a little bit earlier. Come on, brother. There's no alcohol in coffee and tea, chief. Unless you're getting some coffee and tea from a liquor store. And I don't mean liquor store like a grocery store that sells liquor. I mean a liquor store. And so they make liquor tea and liquor coffee. Otherwise, there's absolutely none. There's no alcohol in coffee and tea, so you may drink them freely. But if alcohol does exist in a beverage, then you don't drink that. Someone asked about my age. What do you guys think? Should I answer that personal question? I will vote. I will get a voting from the audience. Okay, oh wow. Well, hold on a second. Let's make this more interesting. It's okay, this is part of the halal fun which Allah allowed us to have. We don't have any other than that. How old do you guys think I am? Because I'm a little tricky. Or at least my appearance is tricky. So let's get some guesses, and I hope you don't know from before. Someone said, I'm 70 years old. Wonderful. Hello. Tonight's lecture on Chat Islam is I May Die Tomorrow. Okay, I'm not 70 years old. I am actually 31. 31... According to the Gregorian calendar, but according to the Hijri calendar, which is the most important, I'm 32 years old, alhamdulillah. So, and we should all, by the way, know our ages according to the Hijri calendar. Okay, because there's a major discrepancy between the Gregorian and the Hijri. And you can go to any website and you know, convert your current birthday in Gregorian to Hijri. So basically, I'm 32 years old, but this is as private as your questions can be. Please don't ask anything else. I think the age is fine, because we know the age of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We know when he got married, we know when he passed away. So inshallah, I don't think there's any harm in asking that question. The intention could be very, reasonable. But anything else may be a little dangerous. Fine. And this is the last question that I will take, inshallah, because it's been an hour. Some Muslims celebrate birthdays and say Islam didn't come to make our life difficult. We will only gather the close people around and celebrate it without any extravagance involved. Aren't we allowed to have a halal party? Can you please elaborate on birthday celebrations? I have done so in many different occasions, on many different lectures as well. But just to tell you the brief answer, there are two ways to look into this issue. Number one, we say, if you are celebrating your birthday because you're happy that you were born on that day, which means that you are someone special, and because of that you're trying to celebrate it. Otherwise, people who don't consider themselves to be special couldn't care less about their birthday. So if you think that you deserve a celebration for your birthday, does that mean, or do you think that your life was more precious than that of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And naturally they will say no. Say, okay, the most valuable soul which existed on earth did not celebrate its birthday. Subsequently, any soul which is of lesser value should not by default. Because if he was in, if he was that special and he didn't do that, now we can't be more special than him, alayhi salatu wasalam. Secondly, why are you gathering and celebrating? Isn't celebration, isn't being happy a form of praising God? When we are happy, don't we say Alhamdulillah? And don't you say Alhamdulillah, today I'm 25 years old, I praise Allah for having given me a long life and prosperity and a lovely family. Isn't the celebration a form of praising Allah? You will say, surely, yes. Because I'm saying this because some people claim that celebrating a birthday, Muhammad, brother, can you please turn off your mic? Please turn off your mic, brother Muhammad. Okay, maybe the monitors want to shut you off. Monitors, please. I'm about to go deaf. Woo! Thank you, Monitor D. Anyways, some people say, brother, it's not a religious celebration. It's not a religious celebration. Say, okay, well, you know, it is whether you claim so or whether you admit it or not. Because celebrating is praising Allah. How do you praise Allah? Don't you have to praise Allah according to the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Yes. Praising Allah is an act of worship. And in any act of worship that you establish or you get involved in, which is not done by the Prophet ﷺ, Allah will not accept it. So now you're trying to praise Allah for giving you life and prosperity in a manner which was not legislated by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what you're doing is an innovation. Allah will not accept this form of praising Him by you eating a cake and accepting some gifts from your friends and neighbors. Allah will not accept it because you're trying to get closer to Allah and praise Him in a manner which He did not legislate for you. So celebrating birthdays is not permissible because of that. This is besides the fact that it comes from Christian origin, and resembling the Christians is impermissible in and of itself. So like I said, if you go back to my lecture, can I celebrate this? I dedicated, I have a lecture on YouTube or on the Tube Islam titled, Can I Celebrate This? Maybe the monitor will give you the link, and I've dedicated a chapter, I guess, of this lecture to celebration of birthdays. And I also discussed it in another recent lecture, which I cannot recall right now. Anyways, you will find them if you listen to the lectures, inshallah. Do we have a lot of pending questions, monitors, or can we conclude for the night? Oh, wonderful. Alrighty, thank you very much. And I hope you enjoyed the knowledge which you gained today. Alhamdulillah, we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to accept our deeds and pardon our shortcomings, because they are many. And I look forward to hearing from you and seeing you in the future, inshaAllah ta'ala. جزاكم الله خيرا وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته